What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the latest on Jalen Watson from Jeremy Fowler, who says Watson is going to have surgery the next couple days for a broken ankle. Sometime in the next few days, there's an outside chance he could be back for a late season playoff push, but also mention as well the reality that he likely is done for the season. That was the expectation based on comments and reports after Sunday's game against the 49ers. So you're down to Nazi Johnson and Josh Williams. There's also obviously some other guys further down the depth chart, but we'll see if this prompts them to look elsewhere outside the organization. They're certainly not as deep at the position anymore.
Yeah, I'd say that that's probably the safest way to put it. I told you, I think in the interim, just as long as, again, you didn't suffer some other injury, you're probably okay in that area. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they at least kick some tires on that. Next up on What's Trending, NBA opens tonight. Their season begins. Knicks and Celtics, Lakers and Timberwolves, the two matchups tonight. Then you'll start getting a full slate over the next few days. You're saying who's the favorite to win? It's the Celtics again to repeat as NBA champions. The real question tonight is, does Bronny James get into the game?
I would think they'll find a way to get him in. It's a nationally televised game. It's opening night. I just would be surprised if they don't find a way to get that moment to kind of kick off the NBA season. I honestly would be shocked.
It's the beginning of the end for Inside the NBA. This is the final season, so I would assume anything goes. It'll be entertaining.
For Chuck and the crew?
I mean, doesn't seem out of the question for them. Charles Barkley has been known pretty well to just kind of say whatever he wants. If you're curious who opens up as the NBA favorite for the MVP, it is Luka Doncic.
Yeah, 3-1 or so right now. I think Anthony Edwards is 8-1. Some other guys on the board as well. Next up on What's Trending, someone that cannot stop getting suspended in his NFL career. That is Jameson Williams, the wide receiver for the Lions, who, of course, a couple years ago was suspended for the gambling issues and violating that policy. He's suspended now for two games for violating the league substance abuse policy. He's been in the league, what, 3 years? Been suspended twice? Something like that?
Yeah. You already had one problem. You already had one problem with it. Why the hell are you getting into more trouble? And he pretty much just says, like, well, I mean, what was the exact way he said? Like, well, I just got to wear this one on the chin. You're like, I mean, yeah, if you cheated, dude. Like, you knew the anti-gambling policy and you could play stupid on this. But at some point, you don't get to play dumb on everything if you continue to get in trouble. They have things to make sure that you don't test positive for performance-enhancing drugs. The funny thing about the NFL and Major League Baseball, this is Major League Baseball, you got caught using steroids. You're a monster. Never near this league ever again. You get caught using steroids four times in a row, people still put your ass in the Hall of Fame of football. They do not care. Nobody cares. He'll be back in two games, and nobody will ever mention he was suspended two games.
Well, that goes back to that's a whole other conversation about the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that there's some that would argue that way too many players get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, there's obviously unbelievable legendary players, but there's also some that are like, we're letting everybody kind of get in here, more so than other leagues.
Jerome Bettis. I need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, the bus?
He averaged like 3.8 yards per carry.
I knew you would be a big Bettis fan, even though you're a Cincinnati guy.
No, I cannot stand Jerome Bettis.
I'm stunned, Mr. Cincinnati.
I can't stand Jerome Bettis, but I feel like the NFL's not as bad as the NBA is.
But running backs in the NFL, the problem is they love putting running backs in the NFL who just physically were available. Not dynamic players, never the best running backs, never led the league in jack squat. Just existed, and you're like, I mean, you played for 10 years? Congratulations! You're a Hall of Famer running back. We can't believe you played 10 years. It's borderline a miracle. You're a medical marvel.
You're naming the NBA, though. Like, you could average 15 and 8 for your career, and you're in the Hall of Fame in the NBA.
I'm just saying that's essentially what Jerome Bettis did. He just played longer than most running backs.
Did he have any All-Pros?
No.
All right, well.
Yes, he was an All-Pro one time or twice.
Okay, I don't know. If he wasn't an All-Pro, then maybe.
He was an All-Pro. Yes, he was an All-Pro twice, actually. His rookie year when he finished with 1,400 yards, his best season. And then his fourth year, he was an All-Pro when he was 24 years old.
He has at the time he got inducted, though, he had the 10th most rushing touchdowns in NFL history.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
That'll get you in.
I think, man. Is Jamal Charles a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he should be.
He's not going to get in, but yes.
Like, that's what my offense is about running back. Right now, if you ask any sane person who's ever existed, who was the better running back? And the answer was Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not like he played for a season. Jamaal Charles had a career. I'm not saying like if you play for 2 years, you get it. But.
Yeah, no, we've had the Jamaal Charles discussion. We both think he should get in, but we also both recognize he's not going to get in. There's a lot of players where it's all of a sudden they get the one ring to go with it, then they're in. If Jamaal Charles was playing during this era, it's not even a question. He's automatically in.
That was the Matt Stafford conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, that's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold, a reminder, at 1 o'clock today, we'll check in with Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. We're also about 8 minutes away from All 32, talking about some more bigger picture NFL things outside of Kansas City. And I guess a little bit of that right here, too, because Baltimore got the win last night. Impressive win. I understand eventually injuries piled up for the Bucs in the second half. Devastating injury for Chris Godwin, who was having a great year and dislocated his ankle. He's obviously done for the year. Mike Evans sounds like he's going to miss some time, not the whole year, but miss some time with a clear hamstring injury. He was trying to make a touchdown catch, and right away he knew it. So that's two key receivers down. But Baltimore, I actually thought their defense, which has struggled, was better last night. And
yeah,
also
garbage time, which I don't care.
Yeah,
about.
And then Lamar Jackson. He's playing better than anybody right now in football. It's early in the year, but that is reality of where he's at. And it's very clear. Like, the number two challenger to Kansas City is Baltimore. And the great thing is you've already beat them twice since January. That's the great thing. So that's your biggest threat as a team you've beat twice since January.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know that, and if that's the worst case scenario, then how bad can it be, right? But the Ravens are a dangerous team. The only question I have about them is them puking on themselves in January an annual tradition, or just the war of attrition of most quarterbacks have to go through playing in enough important games so that they know what it feels like? And that this is Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. And eventually Lamar will get one, right? Eventually Lamar will get one against the Chiefs. At this point, if you gave me one free pass to avoid any team in the postseason, including the Super Bowl, I'd take the Ravens. I'd take them right now over the Lions, even if you told me he was going to be in the Super Bowl, or the Bills, or if you just gave me one free pass to skip any team in the postseason in the upcoming year, it would absolutely be the Ravens. Because what they did smartly, I think, versus other teams is they built themselves in the exact image that they should be. They got Derrick Henry, the most probably perfect complement to what they already were. And because they're running the ball so much better than they did against Kansas City in that game, they are allowed to get the ball downfield with Lamar Jackson. But also, can he, like, is he the same player in December?
Yeah, that'll be the
is
big.
Is he the same player in January as he is now? And traditionally, it's been no.
That'll be the big question again in January. That'll be the narrative around him again. He's going to have to prove that he can play at the same level come January, late January. Can he stay healthy? He's taken a lot of hits this year. All these same conversations are all going to still be out there about him. But right now, he's performing at an exceptionally high level. You said you would use kind of like this the skip pass on Baltimore. I think they're the number two challenger. And you'll say, well, then if you think they're number two challenger, why would you not say they're the team you would skip? They're the number two challenger because they're going to probably end up as the number two seed. And their quarterback is going to finish, if not as the MVP, is going to probably finish top three at least in the MVP conversation.
Probably.
I still think, though, and I know it sounds silly because we're like, we've seen how the Chiefs perform against the Bills in the playoffs, who they also have not lost to in the postseason under this current regime. I still think Josh Allen in the playoffs, because of what we just said about Lamar Jackson, about not that I don't think Lamar can throw the football, but do I think Harbaugh will let him throw the football? Will they run when they should? Like, the balance. Like, Sean McDermott, the reason why the Chiefs have been so dominant as well, is Sean McDermott and Harbaugh both screwed up in the postseason. They both have.
Yes.
Sean McDermott
they've
has done against the Chiefs. John Harbaugh keeps screwing it up in the postseason, where in the AFC title game, Cody, they wouldn't run the ball. So then they relied on the pass too much. Then there's been other years where it's like, hey, let Lamar throw. They're running too much. So they haven't had the balance. I don't trust them in that spot. Whereas Josh Allen, to me, he can run, and I know they're going to let him throw. And so that still makes him a little more dangerous if Amari Cooper is going to look like what he just looked like in their first debut game that they had him.
Sure. And he did. I mean, he did get a touchdown on a play where it seemed like he didn't know where he was technically supposed to go. But I would expect that from a team who just acquired a player. I understand the fear. Like, at some point, right? Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is still more likely to beat the Chiefs, I still believe, in a playoff game than Lamar.
I'll say between the two, Josh Allen has played twice as good as Lamar in the postseason. Josh Allen has been a phenomenal statistical postseason quarterback. I mean, even going back to the 13-second game, what did he do wrong to lose that game? Drive his team down the field with a go-ahead touchdown to put his team up three, leaving 13 measly seconds on the board for the Chiefs to come back and beat him? That man did every single thing imaginable to beat the Chiefs in that postseason. He just got Mahomes'd. He didn't do anything wrong. He got beat by Patrick Mahomes. That part of it is always there. The one question I will say about the Ravens is, like, you've got to run in the postseason. That certainly is going to help you. I don't think you can be the league's worst pass defense. Because, like, I'd ask questions. Like, the Ravens have lost two games. We know one is against the Chiefs. An acceptable loss. The other one's against the Raiders this year. Chiefs lost to the Raiders last year. You can lose to the Raiders in any given year and screw up and slip up and figure out what happened. They gave up 100 yards to Davante Adams, 110 yards, and 100 yards to Brock Bowers. Their pass defense is not good.
32nd going into last night, 32nd. Binkley was texting me during the game last night. These stats are directly from him because we were.
Oh, these are Jay Binkley stats.
These are Binkley stats. I mean, anybody can look them up, but they came from.
No, they're Jay Binkley.
They
stats.
Came from Bink.
Researched personally by him.
He texted me last night. He said Ravens 32nd.
Oh, he texted you this too.
Oh, see, I knew it.
You know what? I gotta ask Binkley. If you're listening to the show,
you guys not get along? What's going on?
Do you not like me, Bink?
He gave up.
You text a lot of people.
Texted me exactly what I think Gold's about to say.
We're having the same conversation.
I didn't get this text at all. He just knows I'm busy with kids.
They give up 14 more yards through the air than anybody. 26th in points a game. Because I think Bink saw one tweet of mine during the game, so that prompts a text, and then we were on at that point.
Got it.
So no, like.
I didn't text anything until I was.
He might have copied and pasted it because he sent me the exact same thing.
Yeah. Drew is texting in on the text line himself.
I'm assuming
this is you. Someone says, are you guys on crack? The Bills and Ravens are not the threat. The only threat is Cincinnati.
That's not even 500.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
If they make the playoffs, though, and say they were to play in the divisional round or in the.
Are they going to get to the divisional round? They're going to have to win the wild card game first.
If they make the divisional round, though, say they go 9-8 or they go 10-7. Okay. I think the division is out of reach, even though they're only like 2.5 games or 2 games out. If they go 10-7 and they win against whoever, so say they beat Buffalo,
okay.
and they go to Arrowhead and they play them. Do you consider them to be as much of a threat?
No.
If they make the postseason?
No, man. Because
based on the way these are going? No.
No. I mean, if the Chiefs have another couple injuries that happened 2 weeks before the playoffs and they've got the wins in the bag, but all of a sudden Travis is out and all of a sudden the return of Pacheco, he gets re-injured. There's always a scenario where things can change, but the way it looks like this is going to trend, which is a Chiefs team winning 14 or more games, getting the bye in week one, so they would have in week one, you know what I mean, the wild card round.
Yes.
And then whether it's Cincy coming to their building or it's, I don't know, Colts or whoever the 6 or 7 seed would be. No, I mean, I don't think the view would change. I mean, it would be impressive if Cincy finds a way to recover again and make the playoffs. But just because they recover and make the playoffs doesn't mean that they're suddenly back to being the number two challenger.
I think it's easy to forget, though, how the Bengals had that game won and then the pass interference penalty, that was a 50-yard penalty or whatever it was, lost them the game. This is like the game won, my uncle kind of thing. And the one team to have beaten them is the Bengals. So I know that it's not the same Bengals team, but if you go into a game knowing, I would feel more comfortable knowing that the guy who's never beaten me and has admitted that he's the kryptonite or that they're the kryptonite.
No, I would rather play Cincy than Baltimore in the divisional round. Absolutely.
Okay.
Same.
Absolutely.
I'll just tell you right now, just based on where.
That should be a gerbil. I'm sure you do. Your team's under 500, so being in the playoffs would be a huge thing.
Like, it seems like there's
the quarterback's playing at an MVP level.
Fine,
so
but
I
the teams.
Are they, though? They're the 10th ranked offense in the NFL. 10th. That's it.
Well, no, Joe Burrow's playing great.
Joe Burrow is playing as good as Lamar Jackson.
I mean, Joe
he's not playing as good as Lamar Jackson. I disagree with that.
Lamar Jackson's been the best player in football so far this year. But I do agree with you. I think it's a bit harsh to act like Joe Burrow's not playing great. But to say, though, because he's playing great that they're a threat, the rest of the team's not been good, man. Like, and it is ultimately how the team is playing as well. Like, Joe Burrow's been great, and they don't have the wins to show for
it. I understand.
That's why we don't do win-loss stats for quarterbacks very often.
I understand, but it's not like they got throttled by the Chiefs 38-10.
No, they lost the game.
But to that same argument, Drew, here's the problem. Cincinnati has three wins on the year. It might be against the number one, number two, and number three pick in next year's NFL draft. Their only three wins this season are against Carolina, the Giants, and Cleveland. I'm glad that they played close, but by that same measure, they played close against Cleveland, and they played close against the Giants, and they played too close against Carolina. Like, I mean, I don't want to, like, say, like, they don't get partial credit for playing kind of close against Kansas City, unless we're going to talk about the fact
they
that they could have lost to the Browns.
They had the game won, and they blew it. The Bengals
didn't have the game won. They committed a clear defensive pass.
I know. They
have the game won.
They had the Ravens game closer to one.
They had a fourth
the only
and 16,
team,
and they gave up a 50-yard penalty because of a pass interference play. They lost the game.
The only team recently, and it's not even recent, in the last 3 years that has played the Chiefs that lost that can truly say we had them and they somehow won, but we basically beat them would be
the
Buffalo on 13-second
game.
That's the only game I'll listen to any argument from any fan like, hey, we had you, like, truly we had you beat, would be the 13-second game. I understand why a Bills fan would say we totally had you beat. There was 13 seconds left, all that. Josh Allen was playing out of his mind. Otherwise, penalties happen in sports all the time.
Look, I'm not one to say that the refs will lose a game or loses a game, but that play, 4th and 16, that lost them the game.
They lost the game because they made the penalty.
The Bengals blew the game. To me, the Bengals blew that game just as much as the Chiefs won the game. That's why when I think you look at who has won in the past, they got the quarterback, they've got the offensive weapons. Teagans did not play in that football game. I think that if we're talking biggest threat to the Chiefs,
and neither did Hollywood Brown. So, but
it makes sense that the Bengals would be the biggest threat because we've seen this the last 3 years.
I don't know, man. They've beaten them one time. They haven't beaten them since 2022.
They're 1-1
in games that
matter. The
Bills have beaten them more. But
Drew, you weren't even working here when they last beat them. You weren't even working for us yet.
They're 1-1.
It's been that long.
But that's
they're 1-1 in games that matter.
I know, but the last one they won that mattered was 2022.
All right, let's move on.
It's a long time ago.
Let's move on.
In the NFL.
Let's get to all 32, shall we?
Sure.
I want to talk about last night a little bit.
Which part? That they shouldn't overturn any play that's cool?
No, not
that.
That's
my stance.
Mine is the Bucs game. Let's go to the Bucs-Ravens game for a second. And there was a sequence late in the game that did, unfortunately, involve Chris Godwin dislocating his ankle, really nasty injury. He's done for the season, was having a great year. And there was the debate, number one, of should he been in the game? That's not the debate I'm trying to get into. The part that was interesting to me was in the explanation from Todd Bowles, they were down 10 points. He's like, why did you leave him in? He's explaining how we're going to march down and we're going to kick an onside. We already had recovered an onside kick earlier. And for whatever reason, there was a fraction of social media for a second last night that was like, well, he doesn't know the rules. You can only do 2 onside kicks. And it was amazing how quickly that spread like wildfire. But also, it's just inaccurate. They changed the kickoff rule that you have to notify teams. There is nothing that limits you in the fourth quarter to 2 onside kicks. I want to make that clear. And also, what would be the reason? Like, why do you think the NFL would? There is no reason for them to have wanted to limit it to 2 onside kicks. Like, what's the point? So it was just factually inaccurate. People are going after Todd Bowles for no reason on the onside kick part. He didn't know what he was talking about. He could have tried another onside kick there. You can try 4 of them in the fourth quarter if you're down. If you're up, you cannot. But if you're down, you can. You can't do 4. You can't have 3 onside kicks in the third quarter, but you can have 3 in the fourth quarter. So that was just weird how everybody was going after Todd Bowles, who I haven't been the biggest fan of Todd Bowles, the head coach in the NFL, much better coordinator. But that's one of those where people were inaccurately going after the guy when he knew what he was talking about.
No, I mean, I understand that end of it. I'm not bothered by that part of it. I just think with the minutes ago, you were down 34-10. You just got to let some go. Don't let people out there to get hurt and cost yourself the rest of the season. But the problem is the Bucs is they might have lost their whole season because of a decision over 50 seconds, which does hurt. The other part, you're right. I don't understand. Like, just ignore the people on the internet like Dove Kleiman who don't know what they're talking about. That's what's important. I was watching the game this weekend, and we do not give the Detroit Lions anywhere near the amount of credit they deserve for that Matt Stafford trade. I'm not saying the Rams would ever go back on it. They wouldn't. They won the Super Bowl. But right now, which franchise is in far, 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 far better shape? And the answer is the Detroit Lions. They got Jared Goff. They have turned him into a top 10 quarterback if he wasn't already. The Rams might have bailed on him too early. Jared Goff has been statistically, once again, one of the most effective quarterbacks in the entire year. They also traded the picks that they got. They got, you might remember, not only did they get Jared Goff for it, they got two first-round picks and some other later picks. They used those picks, including some that they traded for future picks, to get Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam LaPorta and two defensive linemen. They destroyed that trade. They were never winning the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford the way that they were composed, but making that trade has made them a Super Bowl contending team 2 years in a row. That trade was massive for that franchise.
Oh,
it turned the franchise around.
It did. I mean, the Rams obviously aren't crying about it either, as you said. They got the ultimate prize. That was the reason why you make a move like that, was to go win the Super Bowl. So nobody should be saying it was a bad trade or anything. I know you weren't for the Rams. I mean, they got what they wanted out of it, right? They got a quarterback at that time, in that moment, that could get them over the hump. And he did. Matthew Stafford did. But yes, I also think Ben Johnson, the OC, the reason why he gets brought up to be a head coach, how big is it that he decided to come back and not take a head coaching gig? Who knows if that'll happen again this offseason? That was a weird deal. But he's also the key, I think, to why Jared Goff has turned into a top 10 quarterback in football easily.
Fanny retires. If they just wanted to hire Ben Johnson, that'd be fine with me.
Ben Johnson, Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, all on the top of my wish
list.
Those
guys, two of those guys are employed.
I understand. Trade for them. Give them everything. No. They're very, very respected coaches and great offensive minds.
So we talked about the Cowboys a little bit earlier. They came up. The offense can't. They need a running back in every desperate way that you can possibly need a running back. There was a rumor that Alvin Kamara had requested a trade. He dubbed it down. Said, "No, if you don't hear anything from me or my people, then it's not true." But could Alvin Kamara be the one thing that solves Dallas's problems, at least offensively? Defensively, they're having some problems too, but. Is Alvin Kamara something that can get them over the hump to win the division and
make them better?
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely help because they're so one-dimensional on offense right now. They have no running game. Rico Dowdle's been a little bit better recently, but they just don't have – they're all one-dimensional on offense. It's CeeDee Lamb or bust. That's all they got. Now, he's a great receiver.
He gets 15 targets a game or whatever. It's insane.
Yeah, and you said it. Their defense is atrocious. That division's not completely out of reach yet, depending on how long Jaden Daniels could be out.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, they're an absolute mess. No question. That is all 32 in the NFL. Up next, let's get to what is happening again in one particular area for the Chiefs and why it's the case. We'll also get to the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 15 minutes or so. Also, about 25 minutes away from Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, joining us. Be good to have him in studio. We'll get the latest on what he's hearing, Jalen Watson injury, how that's impacting things internally and maybe externally, and of course the wide receiver room, and just where things are at in the AFC.
Our Chiefs insider and our NFL insider in the same show.
Yeah, it was good
man,
to have
you're a football fan.
NFL insider. If you missed it, Vinny Pasquantino was back providing some NFL knowledge and insight. He will hopefully join us weekly, we think, going forward, if all goes well, with his schedule, as he did a year ago. So it was good to have him on. If you missed that conversation, you can check it out on the podcast. We might bring that back in the 1 o'clock hour, depending on how things are going. Just kind of depends. Also, Drew has promised to beatbox. We learned yesterday that he can beatbox out of nowhere, and that's in the 1 o'clock hour. He'll do that for Nate Taylor as well, so we can get some
can't
more
wait.
Perspective on that talent. From one Drew Nixon.
We're going to create a song, I guess.
Something. Meanwhile, let's talk about the Chiefs. And this is also another one of those conversations we're going to have that speaks to, frankly, why it's amazing they're 6-0 and how fortunate they are, but why they just flat out are better than everybody else because they're able to overcome other issues. Another one is giveaways. You know, this is 3 years in a row, I think, at least, that at some point we've had
this
a conversation where we've had a conversation about them being top five in giveaways, not takeaways where you want to be giveaways. They're fourth right now on average.
I understand that this maybe sounds hollow and I don't want to give the caveat we've continued to have to give, which is I'm not saying they won't win the Super Bowl because blank, but if there is one thing they are actively doing right now that is unsustainable for the level in which they are winning, as in going undefeated, being the best team in the AFC, winning eventual playoff games because they got rid of that. This problem, it's the turnovers. It's out of control. Once again, why are the Chiefs, supposedly one of the most disciplined, well-coached teams in the league, every single year, one of the worst teams at giving teams the ball every single time? It's crazy. 10 total giveaways again this year. You'd be like, well, where does that rank in the league? Like bottom six or seven per usual. Look at the teams you keep. All right, let's do the turnover differential. In a game in which they took the ball away three times, still managed to give it away two more times, so only ended up plus one in the category. Here are the teams directly by Kansas City in the turnover differential. Cleveland. How do you feel about that team right now? Pretty bad? Miami. The Jets. Seattle. At least they're above 500. Jags. Panthers. Cowboys. Do you hear the company you're keeping? This is bad. This is bad company.
Yet they're 6-0. I mean, that's what I said. I mean, that's what's remarkable about it. What we remember from a year ago, though, was we had a very similar conversation. We said, hey, got to clean this up. Not to make it to the postseason. But they got to clean this up if they want to win a Super Bowl.
They didn't give the ball away at all in the postseason.
They did not have a single giveaway until the Super Bowl, when Mahomes threw the pick.
But turnovers are a weird thing to just, like, go away. I think what's confusing to me about it is, if you're a bad turnover team all year, traditionally that line continues in the postseason. That doesn't usually, matter of fact, usually you just don't make the postseason. They're the only team in NFL history who come postseason time can just be like, well, we don't give the ball away anymore.
That goes back to the theory.
We don't use our good plays
but
now.
That goes back to the theory that they're just locked in more.
I know.
Come playoff time.
Just playing
time.
With their food.
You know, they're kind of bored of the regular season, locked in come playoff time. They know what's at stake. They know they have to raise their level. They know what that level looks like more than any other team in football because of how often these guys have been playing in the postseason, even with the roster turnover. They've got a head coach that's been in these spots time and time again, a quarterback that also has. That's why they're able to do this. And so, like, yeah, it's a stat that is for the regular season, and you said it best, actually, I think, Cody. For the perfect season, it's a concern. For the playoffs and Super Bowl chances, I'm not concerned because, like a lot of things we've been bringing up, man, come playoff time, they fix it.
Because, like, here are the teams that are the best at doing this. And this is the thing where I mean, like, the company you keep. This is what makes it no sense. It's like, the only thing I think is unsustainable to continue winning at the level you're doing is you cannot give a ball away this frivolously. The number one teams are the Bills, Steelers, Bears, Lions, Packers, Chargers, surprisingly enough, Vikings. I mean, those are, for the top 10 teams, that's pretty much, I just named you, what, 7 of the top 8 teams in the league record-wise? Some of the best teams playing the best football? That's what makes Cincinnati funny. They're actually at the top. They're in, like, 12th plus 2. And still only 3-4, depending on that. But the best teams are good at this. Traditionally are good at this. Some of this is just, Andy is the most creative coach in the league. And maybe this goes to the fourth down aggressiveness, the lack of run, whatever. The things that Andy does that you should come to accept with the winning. Andy does not run a tight ship. I mean, we know that, right? His teams are consistently bad at turnovers and penalties. I mean, every year. They are, I haven't looked. How much you want to bet that the Chiefs are one of the most penalized teams in the NFL? I'll bet the top 10 most penalized teams in the NFL. Without even looking, I'll bet that they're in there. He doesn't run a discipline ship. And so, but come postseason, I don't know if he just...
You want yards or you want actual penalties?
Yards.
No.
Middle of the road?
No, bottom half. Like,
wow.
In a good way. Top half,
wow.
As in
okay.
A good way. 293, the worst team is
total
up 512.
Penalties.
Total penalties? Same kind of story.
Wow. Excuse me.
Yeah,
well, I apologize, Andy.
Most penalized team, it looks like it might be the Cleveland Browns. It's refreshing. Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah, Kansas City, same. You're going to love this. Kind of debunks the theory, Cody.
They traditionally, but they have been one of the worst teams penalty-wise.
Not right now. Second fewest.
In the league?
Mm-hmm. 31.
Wow. Excuse me. I owe Andy an apology on
31.
That
31. Rams have the fewest. Cincinnati has 33. Colts have 34. Chargers 34. Chiefs 31.
I'm sorry. That is a stunning development to me.
Yeah, this
but
is
good.
From footballdatabase.com.
Okay.
2024 penalty statistics.
That's probably a reasonable.
Only enforced penalties, by the way. That's all that matters. I don't care if they're not. I don't care if they're not enforced, as in decline. I don't care. We're talking about enforced penalties.
I think that's just life, right? Enforced penalties is just life. But when you look at where they've been, it's like, why do they turn it over more in the regular season? Though someone pointed out they have 10 turnovers. 8 of those are Patrick Mahomes interceptions. 2 of those are Carson Steele fumbles. It is not a team-wide problem. If Patrick Mahomes simply limits his interceptions the rest of the way, you're okay. And here's the other part of it. Traditionally with this stat, like some stats I think tell the story of who you are throughout the season. Just as long as you stop giving it away at the rate you're giving it away now, I don't care how many times you gave it away before. That stat to me is not a cumulative stat. It is in the moment. Are you good at protecting the football? Because it's a conscious decision. It's a play style decision. It's separate from me versus like we talk about penalty yards or if you don't run the ball well. I don't care if you've run the ball well for 2 games. You didn't run the ball well all year. You're not a good running team. Penalties, I think that is a status of the moment. Like if you're a good turnover team the remainder 11 games, well, then I don't care what you did the first 5. I don't care what your final standings are.
I care what your standings are
for the rest of the way.
Yeah, how are you heading into the playoffs and in the postseason? And that's where the Chiefs have flipped the switch. Whatever, you know, we've discussed that for the last couple of years as well, of just the, for whatever reason, and some people have had theories that, yeah, they're playing with their food is a phrase people have used. You used it earlier. Whatever it may be, just boredom, all of that.
Boredom. Is it boring playing regular season games if you're the Chiefs?
Fast forward, Ben. Now, that's the thing. Maybe it changes. Maybe we see the switch flip earlier. If they're 10-0 or 11-0 and they know there's a chance to make regular season history on top of it, as in a perfect season, maybe that gets the higher level play even sooner.
According to Jordan Schultz, a little NFL news, the Eagles, the only reason I mention this is because anybody is worthy of a conversation. No. The Eagles are releasing wide receiver Paris Campbell. He had 6 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown in Philly this year. Yay or nay? I mean, you can't say no to anybody. You have to kick the tires. This is one of those, like, do I actually think it's a good fit without looking? Probably not. Do you have to kick the tires on a guy who had 104 receiving yards last year? Sure.
He had 600 yards once. He's 6 foot tall. Yeah. No good.
He has 1,000 career receiving yards and 6 career touchdowns. He's essentially Justin Watson. Justin Watson, I looked it up earlier today, has 1,200 career receiving yards.
Yeah.
Sure. Bring him practice squad? Why not?
Other than the Eagles offense this year with Kellen Moore, prior to that, he was with the Colts and Giants. Just talk about boring offense that I just don't like.
Yeah, maybe he's being held back.
2023 was with Mike Kafka. So there's your connection if you want to go deep and say, oh man, he was on a team that had Mike Kafka as the play caller, which is the connection to the Chiefs. Fine. If that's what you want to go with, there's your connection.
I'm just saying, like,
and he had how many yards with the Giants last year? 100?
You said? Yeah. 103.
I mean, it's like Deontay Johnson doesn't have any connections, correct?
I mean, how many
properly, right? I mean, how long? Because I think if that really is a question, how long does it take him to learn the offense?
I think it's a
weird question to ask. If the guy's worth that much talent wise, him taking an extra week or two to learn the offense is not a problem, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just tell you right now, there is not a single outside of Kadarius Toney, which we established yesterday. Mm-hmm. There's not a single wide receiver you could say is available that I wouldn't at least like. Bring in for a workout.
Yeah, MVS signed with the Saints yesterday.
He signed with them?
Yeah, they missed out.
I missed that.
Darn.
Man, that felt like...
In all seriousness, not the type of receiver they need. Not even just because of the last year drops.
No, just not. They need a possession guy.
They don't need a guy that can run... You know, they need somebody underneath possession type receiver.
Is Anquan Boldin, how long has he been retired? Like 5 years?
Into the retirement. Can Calvin Johnson still...
go get Jerry Rice while we're at it.
Calvin Johnson. After watching those commercials, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Calvin might be. You should throw the ball up to
Paris
Calvin.
Paris Campbell, wasn't he like a second round pick?
I think so.
Yep, he's only 27. Yep. Go get Dwayne Bowe. You know, just go get anybody. Yep. Yep.
Kelvin Benjamin. If you had to...
Kelvin.
I'd go after Dwayne Bowe in a heartbeat if it were those two.
Well, Kelvin Benjamin, he got traded here. The reason why I'm joking about
Kelvin Benjamin had a cup of coffee here. Actually, he didn't have any coffee. He just had a couple dozen donuts, not coffee. My apologies.
Was he trying to be a wide receiver here, or is that when he had like made the switch to tight end?
Or a lineman.
Oh, it was that bad?
Dude.
I knew he was converting to a tight end, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah,
wasn't great. Kelvin Benjamin's time here was they were pretty desperate at wide receiver then too. Pretty desperate.
Yeah,
but at least now they got Mahomes. They cover it a lot better now when they have no wide receivers. Drew, you know, for all we can say, is it amazing how bad we think the wide receivers are? Kansas City fans, and Drew would know this, once went through an entire 16-game NFL season without a single wide receiver catching a touchdown pass.
That was a real thing.
How long ago was that?
Not a single one. I don't know, 10 years ago? How long ago was that now?
Shoot.
It was early in the Andy Reid tenure.
Has come up before, but I obviously wasn't here to see it.
Zero, man.
2014.
That was in Kelsey.
They were the first NFL team since the 60s to go 16
in
the entire regular season.
Pass or something.
Yeah. Not Dwayne Bowe, not Jason Avant, not Junior Hemingway.
It's the only time Andy Reid didn't make the postseason, right? And the entire time he's been here in Kansas City, it was the only time he didn't make the postseason.
Yes, the Ravens eliminated them by not head to head, but the Ravens won a different game and then eliminated them.
Their leading wide receiver from the receiver was Dwayne Bowe with 754 yards, but zero touchdowns.
Right.
Albert Wilson next with 260. That was their second leading wide receiver. Jamal Charles was actually third on the team, and he only played a full season.
What's amazing about, now that we're just in the deep dive for a second, that same season the Chiefs converted third downs at the third best percentage in football, yet their receivers couldn't get a single touchdown. But they were converting third downs.
Dwayne Bowe was really good on third down that year.
They also had the fourth best red zone percentage. But again, in the red zone at the fourth best percentage.
Scoring or touchdown percentage?
Jamal Charles was on that team. The point is, isn't that crazy? I've told you, no wide receiver touchdowns, but that team had the fourth best red zone percentage and the third best third down percentage in football that year.
What a weird year. Well, Travis Kelce and Dwayne Bowe get you a lot of third downs.
Yeah.
Dwayne Bowe, he makes no sense. He went an entire season with zero receiving touchdowns, but had like 20 in a different year. Didn't he have like 15, 16 his best year?
I can't remember. Yeah. When's the last time you went to Sonic?
Recently? No, I don't think so.
Sonic?
Yeah, no, sorry, Drew.
That's again, you know what? Sometimes we have to inform Drew of things in Kansas City. We have 15
like, this
touchdowns.
Just Google Dwayne Bowe Sonic. That was a random question, just, but okay.
No, yeah. simply put, Drew, Dwayne Bowe got pulled over for being high while driving to Sonic to get some, you know.
Some tater tots
corn
or
dog or something.
Yeah. Those mozzarella sticks are actually pretty good there, man. Seriously, mozzarella sticks at Sonic, legit.
Somebody said Michael Irvin. Hey, have you seen, he's going to all the Miami games as well. I mean, he's out here traveling.
You mentioned, so we were talking a little bit about the games earlier. Did either of you guys watch the second game, the Chargers-Cardinals?
Fourth quarter, yeah.
The
game became such a blowout
in the box.
It was behind
a paywall.
Yeah, but I have ESPN Plus.
I turned
it on
for maybe 10 minutes.
Especially if you're a fan of a Big 12 school like K-State or KU, a lot of their football games, some of their football games and basketball games end up on ESPN Plus. So I have ESPN Plus, so it's easy to switch over. And that Ravens game got out of hand in the second half. So yeah, I did.
But this is the way of the, like, I hate all the people who say, well, I can't watch it because of Bally and it's behind a paywall. If you don't think football is going that way, wake up. Technically, Thursday Night Football is already behind a paywall. A lot of you have Amazon Prime, but it's already behind a paywall.
The Christmas
Day game for people outside of Kansas City. Behind a paywall. That game last night, the second Monday night game, behind a paywall. We're starting to get to the point that two or three games every week, if you want to watch them in the NFL, you already don't have access to. And we also just ignore the fact that I have to pay for Red Zone if I want to watch all the games anyway. The amount of games I have available to me for free are like five games a week. That's it. I get the one Monday night football game, the one Sunday night football game, two in the noon window, and one in the 3 o'clock. Maybe two in the 3 o'clock if I'm lucky. Six games total is what is available to me. I could probably get that many baseball games for free every week. Sunday night baseball, the one that, you know, like what, it's close. The only difference is the local teams are free. But how long? How long will NFL keep letting the local markets keep the local rights and put those on there versus making them harder?
I think that will be something they actually keep for, and I mean, another, that's one thing I don't think they will shift away from. But other than that, we're going to continue to see more and more Monday Night Football games on ESPN
Plus. Isn't there a playoff game that's on Peacock?
Remember that?
We tried to get a Peacock in studio.
Yeah, that was when we started looking up the Peacock farms the purple Peacock.
That was the Chiefs game.
We started listing
Black
off
spotted peacock.
Yeah,
there was, all
there was a
stuff.
Lot, and we were reading just official animal names, and so nobody could get us in trouble.
I can't remember if there was an ESPN Plus one, but it was the Peacock game that was the one.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, look, I'm just asking because I see every time there's a game behind a paywall for that, I see complaints, and I was wondering if it's just because it was Cardinals Chargers and nobody actually has any fans of those teams. I didn't see anybody on social
media. A lot of Chargers fans
whatever.
At the Cardinals Stadium last night. I was actually impressed. Normally, it's the Chiefs fans.
One fake Chargers fan.
She was there. She's back, baby.
Oh, she was?
She was in Arizona for the Chargers, supporting the Chargers.
Was asking me, she was like, I haven't seen that fan. I was like, I don't know where she's at. We clearly didn't
She's a real person.
Enough.
Busy schedule. Life happens.
She's a plant.
I told you earlier, if she's such a plant, how come we hadn't seen her until just now?
What was she, a converted Vikings fan or
whatever? She's got other acting gigs. Probably like a Flonase commercial or something, man. I don't know.
Flonase.
Out of all the things.
Yeah. Flonase.
You know, just some other random commercial.
Okay. All right, let's get to the randomness of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Don't forget, live stream the show. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Head over to YouTube, TheFan965. Like, subscribe, review. Is that the way we're supposed to say it? Either way,
yeah.
Go subscribe us over there. It's fun to watch us on video.
Yeah, we're trying maybe to have a video set up while we're in Vegas. We'll see. That is to be determined. But we go to Vegas on Thursday, and maybe we'll have a camera just facing the pool and the giant screen out there, poolside. People will enjoy the stream, I think, if we have it facing the pool.
Just like, yeah, it just makes you feel like you're on vacation.
Higher likelihood.
Yeah, scenery. Make you feel a little bit better. At least, but the random question I have for you today is related to my child yesterday, Ruby. Even though she's quite a bit older than every other one of her peers to do so, has lost her first tooth.
All right, there we go.
Most kids have lost them for like years by now. She got her teeth like crazy late. She was like 19 months. She was like almost two before she got a tooth. So like took her a while. She's late in the game, but she lost a tooth.
Okay.
She obviously, through other means, not something we had mentioned, was familiar with the tooth under the pillow situation. So I have two questions for you. One.
Yeah.
What is the going rate for a tooth these days? Two, why do people keep baby teeth? It's disgusting. Why are you people save them? They like keep them in a jar
okay, that's
and stuff.
That's weird.
We never did that.
No, why we didn't do that either, but people do.
You put it under the pillow, you give the kid the money.
To the trash
and
can.
And it goes away. Sorry, spoiler. that's what happens.
My son this morning said, maybe the tooth fairy eats the teeth. And I'm like, no, that's not what the tooth fairy does. What kind of monster eats the teeth?
I don't know the rate. I don't have kids, so I honestly have no clue where at. My
what
guess
do you think is right.
I don't
maybe
know.
We're going to lose like 20 of these
with
things,
inflation
right?
and everything. I'm sure it's gone up. The rate has gone up. Am I crazy for saying it's a $10 bill?
How much was a tooth for you guys?
Cody, I have no idea. People might call me $10.
I gave $2. Am I a cheap ass?
No.
$10
per
tooth?
Hold on. Five?
I'm $200 deep at the end of this thing.
You are not.
$5 maybe. $2?
No, you're.
I thought about $5, but then I thought I might get stuck.
When we lost a tooth, we got $1 and quarters.
Dollar and quarters. Okay.
That's what we got.
But I mean, dude, that was
a long time ago. That was a long time ago.
The early 2000s.
Someone says first tooth $5, then $1 after. Someone says don't $10 rate. Someone else says. Maybe I'm a little high on
that's
the $10.
Crazy.
Dude, it's all over the board. This is nuts. People are saying 2, 5, 20, they said for the first one.
20 is.
That's
20
insane. I think I got quarters. I don't know what you guys got, if you got anything.
I should text a family member and find out what they're doing for the nephews.
Dude, I was the 6th kid out of 7. What do you think? They're paying up for every tooth a kid loses?
I'm gonna
7
text.
Straight kids? We didn't have that kind of money.
Maybe they started it, and then by the time you came up, they were like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore once we get the 4, 5, 6 kids. Yeah,
so because I couldn't, because I had, you know, like, we hadn't gone through it yet. I figured I could always go up if you need. But if I start too high, then I've established a precedent that you can't really walk back from. She immediately wanted to spend her $2 on one of those like vanilla ice cream cups at school. We don't let her buy during school.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I don't care. Yeah. Spend your $2.
Yeah.
You'll feel like it's worth every bit of the $2 if you get a whole little ice cream out of it. That's fine with me.
It is all. I mean, it truly is. Obviously, everybody is so different situation. Like, it is so all over the place. We've seen $1, $2, $5. Some people are saying just anywhere 5 to 10. I mean, it's all.
$10 a tooth? They lose more than 20 of these. $10 a tooth.
Not all at once.
There have been a few $2 bills. Yes, that's something.
$2 bill, that's smart.
My mom has given us $2 bills for the randomness. She'll send a note to us or any of my siblings. Random $2 bill. Those are unique. Thomas Jefferson on them. That's a Jefferson, I guess, in that case.
Yeah. What did you say? Did you get paid for your teeth?
Yeah, but I don't remember what I got as a kid. I have a text or two out to some family members to find
quarters.
Out. I don't remember what we got as a kid.
Someone says we were also given stuffed animals or a toy instead. That cost me more than $2, though.
Yeah.
I'll let them go pick out a Squishmallow. That's $5, $6. I might as well just give them cash.
$10, though. If 10's the going rate, That's crazy. Someone said it depended on the tooth that you lost.
20 divided by the, 20 divided by the number of kids you have, too. So I guess it's going to be a little bit lower.
Oh, I see. That's smart.
Yeah.
Like $10
says you cheap ass. $5 is the minimum for the first tooth ever. And then you can drop the scale down.
No.
Your daughter doesn't know any different, right? So you're good.
She lost it yet.
Do you think she's telling her friends, like, hey, I got two, and some other kid's like, well, I got 10. Then she's coming back home to you and says, Dad, why are you a cheap ass?
Probably. We're going to start talking about socioeconomic status.
You know? Cody, wait.
Welcome to socioeconomics, kids.
Cody, what child of yours has cursed in front of you?
Well, both at some point.
Okay. I was going to say.
Recently, both of my kids right now are in the phase where they yell at me anytime I curse. So if I say something, they're like, Dad. Like, they're definitely in that phase.
Is Desmond in gym class right now? Because if he comes back and calls you a cheap ass, then I think that would be...
Man, between that and my daughter asking me two days ago, she said, hey, do you think Santa's real? I'm like, I don't have time for this. I got other places to be.
That's a loaded question.
Oh, boy. You know what?
Man.
That's loaded, and I'm not getting into this right now.
The text I got from, I was asking my brother-in-law, because they have kids. They just said, it's varied. It's been as much as 20 for the first, less than that after.
Woo! Oh, my gosh.
Woo!
But then less after.
20 for a first tooth.
Less after.
Woo!
Man. Someone got $100 from... Their parents gave them $100 to pull both front teeth.
I will say, you start getting disgusted by it. She had a loose tooth for a week, and all they do is measure. Like, look how loose it is. You're like, I don't want to see.
How did she pull it out?
I came down. So she usually will go downstairs and get herself breakfast, like when I'm like still getting ready a little bit. So I came downstairs. She had gotten herself some food. And when I came downstairs, she said, look, my tooth fell out. So I don't know. Oh. Taking a bite, I guess. I didn't even see it.
There's no slamming of the doors or anything like
that?
All right, up next, we'll ask Nate Taylor about this. He's got a young kid as well. Nate Taylor, Chiefs contributor, Chiefs insider, I should say, from The Athletic, will join us. We'll get his perspective on some of these injuries next.